The test is in four part, part one, part two, part three, and part four. Now look at part one.
Part one.
You will hear a student phoning to inquire about a car for sale. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 7.
Hello, can I speak to... the advert doesn't give a name.
Well, the name is Bob, and I guess this call is about the car I'm selling, right?
Yes, my name's Francis, and I'm definitely interested.
You'll like my car, then. Clean, neat, nice.
What sort is it?
Oh, the original model was called an Echo. You know, like the Echo a sound can make. But then they changed the name to Yaris, just before I bought it. Yaris. I don't know why. I liked the old name, and it's the same car, but that's what it's called.
So, what's the colour? The ad says it's cream-coloured. Like cream, then?
Yeah, well, it's more of a yellow colour, actually.
Not cream?
No, I don't know why I said that. It's like a canary, and small like one, too.
So, what about the power? How many cylinders does it have? 4 or 6? My brother has a 6-cylinder car and says it's very powerful.
Well, this one's 4 only, but I find it fine for city driving. As long as you don't intend to drive this car interstate or across the country, it does the job fine.
That's okay. I just want the car basically for commuting to work and maybe some weekend trips. Is it 2-door or 4-door? I suppose it's not 4-door. The car's too small for that, right?
Right. Just 2 doors, as you say. The front seat bends forward to allow entry into the rear.
That's fine by me. This car is just for my girlfriend and I anyway. What about accessories? Radio, CD player, anything else? Does it have an air conditioner?
Well, no, it doesn't, but I don't find that a problem. I just open the window. I mean, if you really want, you can pay to have an AC installed. Basically, the only additional feature this car has is a radio, but it's still a great deal.
That depends on the price. You say you want $12,800, right?
Yep, about that.
Well, obviously you expect the price to be reduced to an even figure, right?
Well, I don't know.
$12,000.
$12,500, maybe.
If you can lower it a bit, I'll come and have a look, okay?
Okay. Let's say $12,400, but I won't lower it any more than that. Certainly not to $12,000.
Well, if I can get that better price, I may come over this afternoon. But what year is this car? How old is it? My brother's got a 12-year-old car, and it's showing problems.
Well, my car was brand new only 3 years ago, but it still looks like it's only been 1 year on the road.
Okay, that sounds good.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 8 to 10.
Can I just ask a few more general questions about this car you're selling?
Sure.
Can you just tell me why you think it's such a good deal? Of course, I won't necessarily believe you, but just tell me what you think.
You can believe me. I honestly think this is a nice car, well worth buying at the price I'm asking.
How much registration does it have left?
Oh, to be honest, not so much, but I think having lots of registration is irrelevant. It's the car you're paying for, the quality and advantages of the engine itself.
Well, what about that then?
Okay, many people like to accelerate down the freeways, right? There are a lot of speed demons out there who think quickness is all that matters, but basically, people are mostly trapped in city traffic, so one of the things I like is that because this car is small, you can put it anywhere. Say you're in the city wanting to duck into a shop. Well, you can fit this car in any little space while you go shopping or do other things, and that saves you a lot of time.
Yeah, but it's not that powerful, right?
Oh, sure, the feel of a smoothly purring six-cylinder engine attracts many people, but I compare my car to those small football players with the tight turning circles, those who can run rings around the larger players. This car is like that. It can turn this way and that way, dodge here, duck in there, sneak around corners, squeeze ahead, and grab a position. That's also very useful when travelling in city traffic.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Sure, think about it, but all these advantages are sound and appeal to other buyers as well. No one holds the same car forever, so you can say exactly the same things that I just said when you want to sell the car. That will make it very easy for you to pass this car on to the next buyer.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear an accommodation officer telling students about different halls of residence. You now have 30 seconds to read questions 11 to 15.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Stanton University. I'm here to tell you about the various halls of residence we have available, should you choose to come here. We aim to offer accommodation in halls to all first-year students, and you'll find there's a good variety to choose from. First of all, there's Brown Hall, which, as you'll see, is not the most modern of buildings, but it is very popular with some students. It's got a good sense of community, some nice refurbished kitchens, and unlike the other halls, it has recently had a gym built in its basement. Another option is Blake Residence, which is built like a large house, and so everybody cooks and eats together. It has its own sectioned-off bit of private garden, and is even more peaceful because this is an all-girls residence. Although, of course, boys are allowed to visit the hall, and I understand frequently take part in cooking dinner. The largest hall we have is Queen's Building, and this has been upgraded recently. The original parking area has been built on so that the hall now has a large common room, and each bedroom now has its own shower room, which many students regard as a real bonus. A further option is the Parkway Flats, which won an award for design in its day. And this building now has a preservation order on it. This has meant that only a limited amount could be done to upgrade it, and the surrounding area is important, so parking is not permitted around the flats. However, the flats do have many extra facilities, such as a special computer room, a small library, and a self-service restaurant. The cost of breakfast, lunch, and dinner is covered in the fees for this hall, so it does look a bit more expensive. The last residence we can offer you is Temple Rise, which again is slightly more expensive than other halls as the rooms are larger. This has got very lovely views across to the coast, and this more than compensates for the fact that bathrooms here are shared between 6 students. However, the hall has domestic staff who clean the rooms once a week, so this is perhaps an attractive option for the messier amongst you.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 16 to 20.
Now, if I can just show on this wall map here where they all are, you might like to go and have a look round. If you come into the main university entrance, at the first junction, you'll find that Brown Hall is on the corner opposite the theatre. So you're nice and near the station here, though I think it can get a bit noisy with traffic. The same applies to Blake Residence, which is directly facing the junction to the university entrance. These halls are often used by medical students and such like, as they're out all day, so don't notice the noise. Anyway, if you then walk along Campus Road towards the main circle, you'll see the library on the corner, and Queen's Building is just past that as you head north. You will find that it is quieter here, and you may get fewer visitors. By the way, the circle is quite a feature of the campus, as it's set into the hills and has a brand new sports center in the middle. It's worth going to look around it. Now, the Parkway Flats are on the opposite corner to the library, facing the circle, as you head towards the main buildings. The main buildings are only about a 5-minute walk from here, and places in these halls go quickly, so my advice is to reserve your place as soon as possible. Then, Temple Rise is inside the circle, next to the sports center, but further from the main university buildings. Now, if you'd like to go off and physically...
That is the end of part 2.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 3.
Part 3.
Making the decision to stop is just the first step. Yet if you follow these guidelines, no matter how tough it may be to begin with, rest assured.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Stop Smoking Now. You're all here today because you've decided to stop smoking. However, making the decision to stop is just the first step. Yet if you follow these guidelines, no matter how tough it may be to begin with, rest assured, you will be on your way to becoming what you want to be, an ex-smoker. The first thing to remember is that there is not only one way. What I'll give you today are various methods you can choose from. They all work and they can all help. The first method I would recommend is based on something we all have, but in different degrees, namely willpower. Of course, just making the decision to stop is an enormous act of willpower alone. But what exactly does this mean? It means having a strong mind, waking up every morning and telling yourself that you will not have that cigarette, no matter how much you may want one. To do this successfully, you really have to be determined to stay focused. You need to be in the right frame of mind. But this isn't as easy as it may sound, and it may mean doing other things to take your mind off having that cigarette, particularly when the urge is strong. I found that different things can help you do this, like taking up a hobby, or having a smoking buddy, someone you can phone up when the going gets tough, a friend who can help you think about something else. Remember that each time you don't have a cigarette, you will feel better and stronger. Of course, this method does not work for everyone, but there are other ways to help keep you on track. Another way is to use smoking aids. There are many types, so find one that suits you best. Take, for example, nicotine patches. You put one on every day and it gives you a controlled nicotine dose. Basically, you keep reducing the amount until your body stops craving nicotine. As your body gets used to less nicotine, you may experience withdrawal symptoms. Don't worry about feeling embarrassed people will notice, because many nicotine patches are see-through. So, where do you get them? Well, you can buy them from your local pharmacy or supermarket. You can also ask your GP for a prescription.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 27 to 30.
Another method that is becoming more popular is alternative therapies. Giving up smoking is not only difficult for your body, but also your mind, as the emotional stress can be really severe. One therapy that springs to mind is acupuncture. This can help you relax, calm you down, making you much more likely to want to give up. Acupuncture usually lasts between 50 to 90 minutes. As your body and mind become stronger, you should need fewer sessions. The good thing about acupuncture is that it takes harmful toxins caused by smoking out of your body. And I'm sure you'll all like this, it does not increase your appetite. So giving up smoking using this method means you won't put on weight. It can take as few as 5 acupuncture sessions to cure you, but of course this depends on the type of person you are. I suppose one of the biggest advantages of using this method is that there are almost no withdrawal symptoms because it works from the inside. What I mean by this is that acupuncture takes away your wanting to smoke, and this feeling, on top of the feeling of calmness, stays with you after the treatment is over. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter which method you choose. What's important is that you make the decision and then stick to it no matter what. If you give up, think of the money you'll be saving. There is no better time to start than today. You can kick the habit for good.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You will hear an environmental studies student giving a presentation about his project on saving an endangered species of plant. Now you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 31 to 40.
For my presentation, I'm going to summarise what I've found out about efforts to save one plant species, the juniper bush. It once flourished in Britain and throughout the world's temperate zones, but over the last few decades has declined considerably. Before I go on to explain the steps being taken to save it in England, let me start by looking at some background information and why the juniper has been so important in cultural as well as ecological terms, historically and in the present day. Firstly, I want to emphasise the fact that juniper is a very ancient plant. It has been discovered that it was actually amongst the first species of plants to establish itself in Britain in the period following the most recent Ice Age. And, as I say, it has a much valued place in British culture. It was used widely as a fuel during the Middle Ages because when burnt, the smoke given off is all but invisible, and so any illicit activities involving fire could go on without being detected. For example, cooking game hunted illegally. It also has valuable medicinal properties. Particularly during large epidemics, oils were extracted from the juniper wood and sprayed in the air to try to prevent the spread of infection in hospital wards. And these days, perhaps its most well-known use is in cuisine, cooking, where its berries are a much valued ingredient, used to flavour a variety of meat dishes and also drinks. Turning now to ecological issues, juniper bushes play an important role in supporting other living things. If juniper bushes are wiped out, this would radically affect many different insect and also fungus species. We simply cannot afford to let this species die out. So, why is the juniper plant declining at such a rapid rate? Well, a survey conducted in the north and west of Britain in 2004-05 showed that a major problem is the fact that in present-day populations, ratios between the sexes are unbalanced, and without a proper mix of male and female, bushes don't get pollinated. Also, the survey found that in a lot of these populations, the plants are the same age, so this means that bushes grow old and start to die at similar times, leading to swift extinction of whole populations. Now, the charity Plant Life is trying to do something to halt the decline in juniper species. It's currently trying out two new major salvage techniques, this time focusing on lowland regions of England. The first thing it's trying is to provide shelters for the seedlings in areas where juniper populations are fairly well established. These, of course, are designed to help protect the plants at their most vulnerable stage. A further measure is that in areas where colonies have all but died out, numbers are being bolstered by the planting of cuttings which have been taken from healthy bushes elsewhere. Now, I hope I've given a clear picture of the problems facing this culturally and ecologically valuable plant, and of the measures being taken by Plant Life to tackle them. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.